Today on The Girl Defined Show, we're talking about why lust isn't just a guy problem, why most of us aren't honest about our sexual struggles, and biblical strategies to battle lust as a Christian girl.
Welcome back to episode number 4. We are so excited to
be here,
as always. And I'm actually really loving that cute red dress behind you.
Oh, I thought you were pointing to me.
I really like that cute person over there. Because we're literally standing in your closet surrounded by your clothes. And so every time we come in here, I get to look at all your clothes and decide what I want to borrow next.
Okay, I have a random question for you. So those of you who are listening, I wish I could see what everyone's doing right now. Like where everyone is listening to this podcast. Like, because I know we have people that are probably jogging right now in their car doing dishes, vacuuming. What would you say is the number one thing you do when you listen to podcasts?
Probably driving, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I try to use my AirPods, but I kind of lose them all the time.
Oh,
and so when
so
I'm in the house, I like, you know, if I do something loud, then I have my, I just play it on my phone and then I can't hear it because I have like the loud Vitamix going and all of a sudden I can't hear my podcast or I'm cooking and it's like, shh, you know, so I'm like, I end up not listening all because I'm too lazy to find my AirPods.
Oh, that's hilarious.
What about you?
I think, okay, I get a lot in the morning. So in the morning we have this routine, Zach and I, we wake up, we make our coffee. I normally unload the dishwasher. He makes the coffee and then we sit down and do our quiet time. But I don't know, like the whole coffee dishwasher routine takes 30 minutes probably.
Yeah.
It's kind of a small process. And so I feel like every morning I get one episode in of something.
Hey, that's good.
So I don't know. That's like probably my most consistent place.
Yeah.
But I wish I could see you right now, the listener, wherever you are. I don't know, but this is going to be a really, really great conversation.
It is going to be a great conversation. I just realized that I have to share something because I had one of the most nightmarish things for myself that I could think of. So this week I just have to share so y'all can carry the burden with me.
I know what you're gonna say.
It was all in one day and I was carrying my little son Davey and my husband and I drink green smoothies every single morning and I guess there was still like a bunch of green smoothie left in the Vitamix and so it was like half full and we live in an apartment with carpet and I'm walking by carrying Davey and I don't realize
light colored carpet
that he had grabbed the Vitamix and before I even realized what happens he had just dumped the entire thing on the carpet, all over my jeans, all over my shoes. It had splattered everywhere, the wall, the table. And I look back and it's like a massive flood of green smoothie all over our carpet.
Okay, and can I just describe the color of your green smoothie? Because people might think, oh, okay, it's like green. No. We're talking like if you've seen chlorophyll, if you've seen the richest, deepest green color, you put stuff in your smoothie that makes it the darkest. It's really
spinach.
Healthy.
We load spinach in there. We load everything in there. I mean, it was literally, though, like I was struggling not to be so stressed because it was, I just wondered, like, what was going to happen. And then later that day, my little son decided that he would go poopy poopies in the bathtub. And my husband was giving him a bath. And he was like, hey, babe, so what do you do when he's sitting in like a huge poop in the bathtub? And I was like, I already dealt with the smoothie today. So I was just like, you got it, babe. See you later. And I just couldn't deal with one more thing after the smoothie. So if you've ever had something like where you're just like, this was not what I wanted in my day. Let us know over on our Instagram at Girl Defined on this episode because I just need someone to share the burden of when things like, you know, lighthearted. I mean, it's not like the end of the world. I can clean up the smoothie, but stuff like that where you're like, okay, this was not a part of the
like,
plan.
Like,
right
what
now.
Even happened? Davey was on a roll that day.
I know.
And you know what I think is hilarious is when we talk about little babies and their poopy poopies, we say poopy poopy. Like, we make it sound kind of cute.
You don't want to be so like poop, you know?
Like, because that's how you talk about it if it's about someone else.
I don't know.
Okay, moving right along. The only thing currently I deal with that is like messy like that is maybe if Sadie throws up on the carpet or something.
But you don't like bodily like things.
Okay.
Like that. Okay, I don't know why. You're going to be so grossed out if you're eating. I'm sorry. Moving on.
Yeah,
moving on.
Those who are like eating breakfast or dinner, they're like,
Sour Patches, my favorite candy.
Yeah, well, we are talking about something that's, I think, really relevant more than poopy poopies and spilled smoothies, this topic of lust and the Christian girl, because this is something, I mean, we've talked about this over the years. Like, we're sisters, and growing up, yes, like, every single one of us battles with lust, battles with fighting for sexual purity, you know, as Christians, if we're looking in God's word, and we're like, God, help me to strive after purity according to your word and to battle lust. Like, it is so hard.
Yeah.
And I think the hardest thing isn't that we, yes, that we battle it, but that there aren't a lot of people talking about it.
Absolutely.
Like, there aren't a lot of resources, or Christian resources specifically for girls and women saying, yes, this is normal, this is a part of being a fallen, sinful human, but here's some help, here's some guidance, here's some hope. And I know we wrestle with that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, I remember like having so many questions, so many struggles. And it's one of those things where a lot of us, we kind of feel awkward to go to like our parents or, you know, those sometimes even closest to us. It's like, because you just don't hear, even in like church, you don't hear like people talking about this. So you feel like I'm probably the only one. I'm probably a huge weirdo. So I don't want to talk about it. And I know because of that struggle of, like, in our own lives of feeling that way, that actually drove us to want to talk about this and to want to equip other young women and women to not be in that position, you know?
Yeah, or if it is talked about, I feel like it's often talked about in a negative way. Like, fight for purity, don't look at guys, don't struggle with lust.
Don't have sex, sex is bad.
Like the big bad X, right? Yeah. And we're like, wait a minute, but didn't God design sex? Isn't this his good design, these longings for intimacy? These feelings, you know, we're all created sexual beings. We are made sexual by God when he designed us. And I think often in the church or in Christian circles, it can be talked about as like, okay, fight for purity. And it's almost this like buckle down, pull up your bootstraps and just make it happen. But I think what we're missing, and this was really what we felt, you know, so often when we were younger and why we were compelled to write this book on sex and purity, was that we wanted to bring a beautiful message. Okay, yes, purity is part of the equation, but what does God have to say about sex? Like sexuality, this is a part of his beautiful design. And our friend, Dr. Julie Slattery, she always talks about it as sexual discipleship.
Yeah.
And I just love that because like every area, this is a beautiful area that God created, and we as Christian girls, as women, we need sexual discipleship in this too.
We need help and we need hope, and we need to know that the gospel impacts even this area, that there can be freedom and hope. And that's exactly what sex, purity, and the longings of a girl's heart, discovering the beauty and freedom of God-defined sexuality. There is so much freedom in that. And that's exactly why we wrote this book, because not only did we have our own journeys of wanting discipleship, wanting help in this area, and wanting to dig in and research and pass that information along, but we received dozens and dozens, probably hundreds, maybe thousands of emails from girls, young women, women just like you saying, help, I've never told anyone this before, or am I the only one? And I'm going to share these anonymously, but these were when we asked like, hey, what are your questions? Yeah. Do you even have questions about like sex, purity, everything like that? We got an overwhelming response from many of you saying, yes. And here are just a few things that you said, and I'm reading this actually from our book, Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. One of you said, lust is something I struggle with on a daily basis. And these are just regular Christian girls just like you. Another one says, lust has been a struggle in both my singleness and my dating relationships. Another says, lust is a problem almost all girls struggle with, but is so infrequently talked about in the church. Can we get an amen to that?
It's amen.
Like, you know, you hear like the guys like, okay, we're going to do a study, or we're going to talk about pornography struggles for the guys, and the girls like, okay, go over there and knit or whatever it is. Yeah. I don't know. You're like, so then you just feel like I could never tell them that I struggle with porn because girls aren't, you know, this is not a girl struggle.
Right.
And it feels so like shameful because you feel like you just can't even acknowledge it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. And then there are topics that, like you mentioned porn, masturbation's another topic I would say is pretty hush-hush in the church. We have an entire section in this book dedicated to that. Thinking of the topic of erotica. I mean, these are relevant things that Christian girls are wrestling with, and there's so many others. And, you know, we had our own struggles and still have to fight it. You know, there's this idea that once you get married, you don't have to battle for purity anymore. It's like you don't struggle with lust. Like, yes, it's on both sides. When you're single, when you're married, it's a calling God has for us. But yeah, I think it's so important to acknowledge that there are, like, we are struggling and we need answers.
Absolutely. And I think this last comment in our book is what I think drove us to want to make this podcast for you. So she says, lust is not spoken about. We girls are confused and frustrated. Mm-hmm. We need someone to talk frankly with and to help us understand what the Bible says about this issue and how we can live pure lives before the Lord physically, as well as mentally and emotionally.
Yeah.
And that right there is why we had to create this episode, because we want you to know, like, hey, we're not afraid to talk about this. We're not afraid to, like, you know, put on our big girl panties and dig into this, because this is something that so many are struggling with, and we need help. We need hope. The Bible is not shy about this. We can dig in.
Yes.
We can talk about this. We can find answers, and freedom can be had.
Yeah. I have to say that when we set out to write this book, when we were actually deciding what our next book was going to be, we were working with our publisher, I didn't really want to write this at first.
Oh, yeah.
Because it kind of terrified me, because I knew that in this book, I was going to have to open up, or I was going to get the opportunity, I guess, to open up and share about a lot of the places I've struggled. And the thought of like publishing that to the world, even though we're pretty open at Girl Defined, I was like, oh, I don't know. It feels so uncomfortable. But as we did it, I feel like God even did a work in my heart to even bring freedom and to just in my own heart help me to be more comfortable talking about it. And that's the thing. Like, if this is the first time you're really thinking about some of these things for yourself, we are so proud of you for sticking with us and listening to this. We're not going to give you all the answers here.
Yeah, I know.
But I think breaking the ice and even taking a step in your own heart of going, wow, yeah, I am struggling. I do need some help. I do need some help. I do want to know what God's word has to say. The more we talk about it, honestly, even though it's hard, it can be very nitty gritty. I think that that's where the freedom starts, yeah. is taking those steps one at a time.
Absolutely. And something I'm super excited about is the fact that we are actually offering a mentorship course to help you dig deeper. So if you're like, okay, I am struggling and this one podcast is great, your book is great, but I need a little more help, girlfriend, or I just want to surround myself with great other sisters in Christ and I want to be discipled in a deeper way. So we have created an 8-week mentorship course. It's an online course where the two of us have created like dozens of videos personally sharing help and hope and biblical discipleship on many areas, but we have an entire week dedicated to personal struggles. Mm-hmm. And this area of lust, sexuality, sex is something that we dig deep into. And this is a course that actually hundreds of girls have actually been through, and the response has been amazing. Mm-hmm. Because I know that you want discipleship. I know you want mentorship, and it can be hard to know where to find it. And that's exactly why we created our 8-week mentorship course. And something so exciting is that registration actually opens December 1st.
Woo-hoo!
And I think it closes January 10th.
Right.
And it will, once it closes, it's done. Yeah. And we're not going to be offering this course again for a while. So we really, really want you to join us. We encourage you to check it out. This is one of the best investments you can make into your life. Where can they go to get all the
go
details?
Go to girldefined.com/mentorship. And week one is going to begin January 11th. So yes, Bethany said it's an 8-week course where we are coming alongside you really as mentors, mentoring you. You'll have an online community, weekly live Zoom calls with us, and then a private community of sisterhood really from around the world where you're going to have daily interaction, commenting, sharing, praying for one another. It is such a beautiful thing for getting discipleship and getting support. So yeah, check it out if this sounds like something that would be interesting to you. girldefined.com/mentorship. And if you like this podcast and you are so grateful for the content that you've been receiving and you want to help spread the word, you want other girls and women to find this, would you do us a huge favor and leave a 5-star review? Now, we ask that because we're a new podcast. We're new to the market. And the more reviews we get, then it'll actually help our podcast to spread more. So please do a favor, help us out, and then tag us on social media. Take a snapshot, share it around too. We just love that about the sisterhood, that we come alongside and support one another. So thanks so much, guys.
You know, when it comes to this whole area of like sexual struggles, I feel like way too often we as Christian girls, we live under the weight of our sin. We don't understand the gospel's amazing power to give us freedom. We don't understand like the fact that Jesus promises us forgiveness if we come to him.
Yeah.
Like if we repent and ask, he will forgive us. And so instead, we allow the enemy to keep us in bondage, to keep us enslaved, to keep us entrapped. And we just live under that. We live under that weight, which can cause so many other issues because we're just like stuck. And so something I'm really excited is to give you some strategies to help you find that freedom, because Jesus died, not because we're perfect, not because we measure up so well, but because we are sinners, because we are imperfect. And that's a message I know I desperately needed, really came to the realization of that, like in my 20s, like, that's why Jesus died. Yeah. So instead of living under the weight of that sin, we want you to find freedom through the power of Christ. And I love what 1 Corinthians 15:55-57 says. It says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory." Do you hear that word? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message I want you to hear, that we can have victory because of what Jesus did for us. And through Christ's strength, there can be freedom found from the struggles and the bondage that we're in.
Yeah, exactly. And some strategies to help you guys. We're just going to dig into a few here because we want to give you some practical tools that you can walk away with and go, wow, okay, I have some next steps. If you're feeling convicted, if you're feeling hopeless right now, or like you're the only girl struggling, I hope by now, you know, you're not. I hope that our honesty has revealed to you like, yeah, I'm not the only one who's struggling, but now what do I do? And so one of the things, I mean, you just read that scripture. It is so powerful for us to get in the word. And that's probably one of the biggest strategies. You know,
absolutely.
We're calling these strategies, but really these are just biblical truths. And getting in the word, reading it for ourselves. I mean, it is so easy to be a Christian and to never get in the word.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like you think, oh, it's not even like it costs anything. You just sit down and open your Bible and read it. But how often do we plow through a day, plow through a week, and we look back and go, oh, wow, I wasn't in the word once. And, you know, we're on social media, we're watching all the movies and music videos and filling our minds, being discipled, in a sense, with so much, even some good things, but we're not in the word. And so we're battling with this sin, we're wrestling with sexual sin, and we're going, why can't I find victory? And I think for so many of us, we just need to take a pause and go, am I getting in the word? Am I plugged in to the source of power and truth? Because if we don't know what God's word has to say, we're missing out on the biggest tool that God has given us. And so I would say, honestly, fighting for purity, fighting against lust, getting in the word is probably one of the most important tools. And Hebrews 4:12, where do we get this? Here's what Hebrews 4:12 says. It says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so, you know, sometimes we might look at our Bible and think, oh, it's just a book. Like, but it's not just a book. God's word is alive and active, which means it has power.
Yes.
And, you know, have you had a moment where you sit down and you read a passage and you're like instantly convicted?
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to a truth and you go, whoa, my heart needs to change in light of this truth. And then you pray, God, help me to walk in this truth. And what happens? It starts with your mind. Your mind is renewed with that truth. You go, God, help me to walk this out. And then your life is different. Your actions are different. Your motivations are different. And so that's what we mean by it has power. God wants to use his word to bring truth and conviction to our hearts. And so if you don't take any other thing away from this podcast, I think getting in the word every single day, I mean, some great books to start. I think you just go to the New Testament, right?
Yeah.
Great books like Ephesians, James. I mean, those are some of my favorite. And you just read a chapter a day, you study it and go, God, what truths are you teaching me here? Help me to live this out.
Mm-hmm. And I know we actually do offer a free 30-day devotional.
Yes.
It's girldefined.com/ is it devotion, devotions, devotion. I think. But it's something free we want to give to you to help you. Like, if you're like, okay, this is very overwhelming for me, I just need baby steps, or I need a little bit of encouragement to know where to start. Because, like, even the whole New Testament, that sounds scary, or the book of John, like, I don't know what I'm doing. So go girldefined.com/devotion.
Devotional.
Devotional.
I think it is devotional.
Okay, she's got it. She's got the right one. Girldefined.com/devotional, and we'll give you a free 30-day devotional to help you kind of get started and dig into the word with a little bit of help. Another way that you can battle lust and really fight for purity is to pray for strength. This has been so transforming in my own life when I realized, like, okay, God isn't against me. He's actually for me. And I can pray to him and cry out to him. And he is the one who will give me the strength. And I like to just think about it, you know, like, 'cause when we're little, we sing like, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. And we sing all of these songs and we talk about like how great and big God is. And then we get older and we're like, God can't help me at all, you know? But it's like, we need to stop and remember that. Like, no, God is big. He is mighty. He is strong. He's the ruler, the creator of all creation. And guess what? He wants to have a personal relationship with us. That's what Jesus came to do, to break that barrier so that we could have access to God. He desires a relationship with us. And so we need to cry out to him through prayer and ask for protection, ask for strength, ask for courage to fight this, you know, asking God, God, please help me to be courageous and bring this to the light with a trusted, you know, confidant, a trusted mentor. Please help me to be bold. Please help me to fight against this. Please give me strength. Realizing we don't have to do this on our own is huge. We have an incredible, amazing, loving God who wants to help us. He is there for us. Isaiah 40:28 is a great reminder of just how great he is. And these are the kinds of passages when you're in the word regularly, these are the kinds of passages you come across that remind you of, wow, who our God is. Isaiah 40:28 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And that to me is just an amazing reminder of the privilege that we get to pray to that God, the creator, the everlasting God who created, you know, to the ends of the earth. He never grows faint or weary. He doesn't get tired like, all right, Bethany, you've been here one too many times. Out with you. No.
Yeah.
His patience, his love, his endurance is everlasting, and his understanding is unsearchable. And that is an amazing God that we serve. And so just setting the record straight in our minds, like, oh, God isn't just this big, like, all right, waiting to drop the hammer on you. No, he wants us to have freedom. He wants us to have that victory. He wants to give us that strength. Something that I've personally found to be super helpful is just kind of memorizing a short verse to help me meditate on or think about when maybe I am tempted with struggle or I'm feeling kind of weak in a moment. I have a scripture, just a short scripture that I can pull to mind in just pray back to God when I don't feel like I have the words to say. So one for me that I've used over the years, and I have used this over and over again, and it's been such an encouragement, is Psalm 51:10, which says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Just a short cry and a short prayer. And I will just sometimes repeat that over and over again. And it's just like, God, help me, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Yeah. Like, I don't even know what to say or do, but I'm just crying out to you right now.
And praying for strength, I think it reminds us, like you're saying, that we need God. Like, because if we don't pray for strength, we're saying, I got this on my own.
Yeah.
Or there can be so much shame in our struggle that we feel like, well, can I even take this to God?
Yeah.
But here's the thing that we both came to realize, that God already sees our struggles. So by you not talking to him about it doesn't mean he doesn't see them. He sees the depths of our heart, even that tiny corner that no one else knows about. We're the only ones. We've never told anyone. God sees. He sees that and he wants to help us. He wants us to bring that to him. And so I just love that reminder, like, God cares for us. And that reminds me of another strategy that I think is so helpful in battling lust as Christian girls is, as we're praying, it's bringing it to mind. And I think being on our guard, you know, that is something that we don't often do. We're kind of going through the day and we're just jumping on social media. We're doing things and we're not on our guard, realizing that, wait a minute, like my sinful flesh, like it is bent away from honoring God. It is bent towards lust. It is bent towards sexual sin, not necessarily bent toward honoring God, glorifying him, walking in a manner that's pure in my heart and mind. That's not my heart, you know, on a basic level. And so being on our guard and recognizing, wait a minute, my flesh is bent away from God and there's an enemy out there, Satan, who wants to destroy us. And I know that sounds really extreme, but we don't talk about the enemy enough, and he is real. He is out there. And you know, you think back to Genesis, like I think of Eve in the garden, you can visualize that serpent slithering around, you know, tempting her with that fruit. He presented that in such a beautiful light, like, oh, if you eat of this, you'll be like God. You'll have this knowledge. You'll have this understanding. And it sounded really good to her. And sexual temptation often presents itself as something alluring, right?
Absolutely.
Something enticing. And you know, I can remember countless times in my younger years where I'd be on social media and I'd see, you know, some photos or something and I'd go, oh, that looks really interesting. Yeah. And there's that temptation, that allurement where you're like, I want to click. I want to see more.
Didn't you share a story about that? Like there was some hot guy you started stalking or something?
Okay. I met this guy at a Christian conference, of course. And then I'm kind of slightly stalking him. This is back when I was single.
I always call out all your stories.
I know. I was single. I've shared about this. And I was like, oh, I kind of want to see more of what he's about, you know, just as general as a person. So I get on his profile and then he has like a million shirtless photos, just like where he was trying to be Mr. Hot Stuff. And I was indulging in these photos, like in a lustful way.
You
and
were
just,
like continuing to click. And
yes.
Look
and like, ooh, let me see more. And so in my heart, you know, that presented itself as like, ooh, a juicy opportunity, if you will. And I wasn't on my guard. So I wasn't really thinking about, oh, I need to be on my guard. You know, maybe I shouldn't look at these. I shouldn't indulge in a lustful way in these photos. You know, God, help me right now. Click the computer off, walk away, you know, whatever. I just kind of, I was very passive. And so that's this whole idea, like the enemy, we need to remember that he presents sexual sin and temptation in a really appealing way. He makes it look delicious and like something that we must have. But then what happens every single time? I know in my own heart, after the fact, after I've indulged in that sin, I feel terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, oh, like, why did I do that? I knew better. I didn't even ask God for help. And the good feelings are gone.
Yeah. Or even just empty. Like it, maybe you're like, oh, that was kind of fun in the moment, but then it doesn't last. And you're like, oh, now I need more and more and more. So it's like this, it's like this black hole where it never satisfies.
Right. And we think, oh, the next one will satisfy more. But yeah, let's look back on our life and go, has any of that sin ever landed me in a place of true satisfaction, a place of lasting satisfaction? It hasn't. And I know that's true for us. And we know that's true for you. And so that's why 1 Peter 5:8, it literally warns us to be aware of the devil and his crafty schemes. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And you know, I have seen so many Christian girls get entrapped in sexual sin, and that is the thing that the enemy uses to take them down so often. And we've received countless emails, testimonies from you girls saying, this is the hardest, biggest battle in my life. And so we need to be on guard like never before and recognize that the enemy is out there to deceive us, to trick us, to offer us, just like Eve, alluring temptations that will ultimately lead us to destruction.
And I think the next strategy that is just so helpful is one that we don't often like to talk about, and honestly, sometimes a lot of churches don't even talk about, is confessing when you sin. We kind of like to just say, okay, like, well, I'll do better next time, or my bad, or like, okay, no, I'm just going to muster up the strength. But no, we need to actually stop when we sin, when we lust, when we, you know, do something that we know is explicitly stated in Scripture not to do. We need to confess that to God, to pray to Jesus and ask Him for His forgiveness. Don't just shove it under the rug and move on and be like, okay, I'm not going to think about that, talk about it. Okay, moving on with my life. Don't just wallow in your shame like, I'm the worst, I'm just terrible, and stop there. It's like, no, acknowledge your sin before God and humbly ask Him for His forgiveness. I love the fact that when we are experiencing like that guilt, it actually in so many ways is a blessing because it drives us to our knees and it drives us to the cross. It drives us to God who offers us that forgiveness. It drives us to repentance. And that's something we try to, I feel like so often in our culture, is like get rid of those bad feelings, get rid of that guilt, get rid of that, all of that. And it's like,
even that actually, shame.
That shame, it's like, no, that actually drives us to the cross, which actually drives us to repentance. And then we're able to accept God's forgiveness, and then that's where the freedom is found. So it's like we should like lean into that and say, oh, what is this pushing me towards? This should push me towards Christ. And 1 John 1:9 gives us this reassuring promise. It says, if we confess our sins, He, speaking of God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We serve a God that promises to forgive us our sins if we ask Him. He's not like, okay, well, that one was kind of bad, so not going to forgive it today. No, if we go to Him and confess, He will forgive. You can find comfort and strength and peace in that truth. Mm-hmm. And I know I felt that way before, where you feel like, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I cannot go to God with this. This one is just too big. And maybe somebody even around you told you that, like, that's too big for God to forgive. I don't want you to allow that lie of this certain sin being too big for God to forgive to keep you from Him, because He died for all sins. There is nothing too big for Him, nothing too shocking for Him, nothing that He cannot, forgive and transform and offer freedom. I mean, you just go back to the Old Testament, you'll see people like Rahab, a prostitute. You'll see so many stories where God literally used them, put them in the lineage of Jesus, in fact.
Right.
So talk about freedom, you know? So just if you're ever feeling doubtful, just go read the story of Rahab and you can see the transformation that God can offer when we confess, repent, and find that freedom and that newness in Him.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. I love all that you just shared. So something else that really, really helped us when we were younger, I don't remember who challenged us to do this, but it's another strategy that's very practical, and it's this: get rid of obvious temptations. Now, we live in this fallen world. We cannot get rid of every sexual temptation. They will always be a part of our existence in this broken world. But what we can do is be wise about what we are bringing into our lives, what we're bringing on our phones, who we're following on social media, what movies we're watching, the music we're listening to, where we're letting our gaze linger, the type of conversations we have with friends. And so what I mean by this is getting rid of obvious temptations. When we were younger, someone really challenged us to think through, all of the different areas of our lives. And they challenged us.
Kind of like take an inventory.
Kind of take an inventory of, think of all your social media, think of the movies you watch, like all the things I just mentioned. And they said, now of all of that stuff, are there things that you're engaging in that are making it really, really hard for you to honor God in your heart and mind, to pursue purity, to battle lust? You know, are you willingly engaging in things that are so tempting that they're stumbling blocks?
Yes.
And you're just doing it over and over again, and you're stumbling and stumbling and going, why can't I have victory? And, you know, we both really took that to heart. Yeah. And we went in our rooms and they said, you know, get rid of stuff that isn't helpful, that isn't helping you keep your heart on Christ. Get rid of those stumbling blocks if you can. And so I remember I went through my books and I got rid of some books that were, you know, even Christian romance novels. But at the time, like, they were not helping me keep my heart on Christ. They were not helping me pursue purity or battle lust. I remember just different things on my phone, like
music.
Some social media. Oh, yeah. I did get rid of some music. I was like, I just don't need to listen to this. And we know everything is like streaming now. You don't necessarily buy songs like the old days, but even going, okay, which artist am I following?
Yes.
And is this music, is it creating in me a pure heart?
Yeah.
Like Psalm 51:10 says, is it renewing a right spirit within me? Or is this song really drawing my heart toward lustful things and sinful things? And yeah, looking at who you follow on social media, the type of content that you're consuming on a daily basis, the type of podcast you're listening to. And you know, it's such a simple thing, but by taking an inventory and then saying, God, would you just help me to take some faithful steps of removing some of these stumbling identifying blocks, removing these things that aren't helping me fight for purity, and then doing it. Oh, yeah. I know, you know, it's not the answer because God does the work in our hearts, but it sure does help.
Absolutely. Well, and it's, you know, it's easy to think that it's just like normal. Like, well, everyone's watching it. Everyone's doing it. But like, okay, think about it. Is it actually helping you? Like, where is your mind going? I mean, you know, when you actually stop and think about some of the stuff we consume, it's kind of a little bit shocking.
Yeah.
You know?
And Romans, I love Romans 13:14. This is like dagger to the heart of conviction. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. And so biblically, I think that we could back up all that we just said with that verse saying, God is calling us, don't make provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. And so, you know, we have to be wise as Christian girls and go, am I making provision? If so, what can I do to make sure I'm no longer making that provision?
And I think we can't just stop there, because if we just say, okay, put that stuff off, like, you know, get rid of some of that stuff, and then we just have this empty void, like, okay, I used to, like, you know, jam out on Netflix or and watch stuff for, like, you know, 3 hours every night, and I'll have nothing to do. Like, great, now I'm just sitting here really bored. It's like, okay, probably going to be easy to get back into that maybe in a week or so, like, once we get bored. So I think that we have to be intentional to kind of replace that and fill our mind with truth, or fill our mind with things that are actually going to help us, like, have that love for Christ and that purity in our minds, where we're like, okay, I desire you, God, above all else. And I'm not just putting those things off, but I'm actually, like, striving to put things that will help me into my life. You know, like, just help yourself out, girlfriend. Like, do some practical things that'll set you up in a better direction. You know, we do that in so many other areas of our life. Like, even with, like, work or sports, we, like, do things that help ourselves out. Like, we train, or we, you know, like, condition. And then when it comes to our spiritual life, like, it should all just fall together. Right. Like, no, like, the Bible gives us some clear direction. And so something that I know for me was hugely helpful around that same time where we got rid of a bunch of stuff, I remember starting to put some actually biblical books and even like Christian music and things that just directed my mind and heart to a better place. And I became a big reader at that point. Yeah. I wasn't really into reading all that much back then, but once I got rid of a lot of like Christian romance novels and kind of like certain music that just wasn't helpful in certain shows, I was like, well, I have a lot more time. So I started reading a lot of good books. And I think God knew one day that I would be an author, that we would be authors. And he's like, all right, you're going to need some training in this area.
Well, and it's through our love for books and how much Christian books changed our lives that we were then compelled to want to write as well.
That's true. Yeah. They were super, super helpful. Yeah. So obviously, I think that if you're specifically struggling in the area of with, you know, sexual temptation, I cannot encourage you enough to fill your mind with good biblical truth in this area. And that's exactly why we wrote Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. We wrote it because we knew the help that we needed and the encouragement that we still need. And so we wrote this based off of the emails, based off of the DMs, based off of the requests that you had saying, hey, here's what we're struggling with, and then based off of our own personal experiences, then we went to God's word to find the truth, to find freedom, to debunk some of the lies and the myths that we believe about sex, about our sexuality, about our identity, about purity, all of this. We dig into that. So if you want to fill your mind with truth, grab a copy. I promise you won't be bored. You're going to be like, wait, we're actually talking about this? What? The Bible says this? I think you'll be a little bit surprised even that Christians can be so, I guess, bold in speaking about these things. So if you want to fill your mind with some truth, not that our book is the Bible, but we do use the Bible in it, but I think it would just be a massive encouragement to you.
It's a discipleship tool, right? Yeah. I mean, that's why getting in the Word and praying were the first two things we mentioned.
Yes, I know.
Because those are most important.
We're way down on the list.
It's like a guide, like, okay, get in the Word. Where do I start? How do I grow in my understanding of biblical sexuality? This is a great place to start.
And I forgot that we have literal questions at the end of each chapter.
Yes, so I was just going to say that.
If you want to, you're like, okay, I really want to dig in deeper or I want to know how to put this into action. We created an entire study guide that's included free with the book, with Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. You get a free study guide to go with it that will just take it to a much deeper level.
Yeah, and you could, this was the next thing I was going to mention about battling lust as a Christian girl is, you know, surrounding yourself with like-minded women who are going in the same direction, you know, finding a group of Christian girls that are also striving after God's word and, you know, looking around and going, okay, do I know anyone like that? And maybe you're like, I don't know anyone. Start praying that God would bring those sort of friends, because the Bible talks about, you know, iron sharpening iron. We need each other. Ecclesiastes talks about the one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And so, you know, we have heard of groups of girls, you know, one girl initiating, getting this book, initiating a little study with her friends and going through it. And, you know, sometimes the girls, like, they'd say, oh, they're kind of awkward, like a book on sex and purity. Like, we're going to do a study on this.
Like, awkward questions.
Yes, because guess what? We're all thinking about it. Yeah. We're all struggling. We all want to know, what does God's word have to say? And so surrounding yourself, which, you know, we call it the sisterhood here at Girl Defined, linking arms with those Christian sisters who are also fighting to keep Christ at the center of their hearts, fighting lust, striving after purity to live really a God-honoring life in our hearts, in our minds, and then in how we live outwardly. I think that can be one of the most encouraging things, because there's some great discussion, the way that you can pray for one another, the way that you can talk about the different things that you're struggling with. You know, there's so much that comes in community, and I think that's why the Bible talks about it. And, you know, if you're like, well, I don't really know if I can find that right here where I'm at, then, you know, we mentioned our mentorship course early on. That is actually a way, if you're like, you know, I just want some really solid community. There, the girls that join our mentorship course are typically very serious girls in their faith. They want to grow. They want to learn. They're willing to put in the time to be mentored and discipled. And so we want to, again, just invite you to consider joining us for our 8-week mentorship course, because there is built-in community that you will have for 8 weeks. And if you're in a lonely place, a place where you don't really know a lot of people, this may be a great kickstart. You know, it's not the long-term answer, but a great way for you to get a community for 8 weeks.
Yeah, well, and it extends beyond the 8 weeks, because we have a private Facebook group that we invite you to join, and you get access to that pretty much for a lifetime. And so I know the girls from the last mentorship course that we did, they're still connected. Many of them have, like, connected on a more personal level and have that sisterhood. And they get, I still see their notifications all of the time popping up in the Facebook group where they're like, hey, I'm going to read this book, or do you want to do this study with me? And it's so cool to see that through doing this, you know, this mentorship course, they've connected and now they've made friendships for a lifetime. And the cool thing is that some of them literally live in different countries, thousands of miles apart, but they've connected just over, you know, via like Skype and Zoom and all of that. So that's amazing to see. So that's one of the benefits. It's, you get those friendships for life, not just for the 8 weeks.
Not just for the 8 weeks. So if you're interested, again, it's girldefined.com/mentorship. And we also build a relationship with you through that. So we get to know you too, which is so fun.
Yeah. And as important as the sisterhood is, I think that there's another step that just takes it even deeper. And I think that's the area of accountability. And I, for one, I don't really like accountability, because it can be awkward and like, okay, you know, I'm supposed to do something, or I'm working on something and they ask, like, so how'd that go? Like, well, I didn't do
especially
it, you know?
When it comes to sexual struggles.
Yes. It can be so hard to, like, be open, you know, and be honest and share truthfully. But I think if we change our perspective and say, hey, having an older, godly woman in my life to offer me wisdom in my fight for purity, what a privilege, what a blessing to have someone link arms with me who loves me, who cares for me, who is gonna, you know, who I'm inviting to share the honest, straightforward truth with me. Like, we need that person in our life. And that's where finding a mentor or just an accountability partner comes into play. And I really encourage you to make this person someone who's maybe a few years ahead of you or many years ahead of you spiritually, who can just really take you to the word, hold you accountable, not let you, you know, squeak by with not doing the things that you know you want to do. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Mm-hmm. What a great instruction for us to follow. To walk with someone who is wise. And if you are like, okay, I've never done this before, this is really awkward.
How do they do
this?
It
is, like, really,
how do they
uncomfortable? I know. So for me, I, you know, I had a mentor, and sadly she's moved away. And so I'm on the hunt for a new one now.
Ooh.
I know. So if you are older and you are looking in the mentoring business, then you might have a taker here. So I'm in this with you. Like, I'm literally trying to find a new mentor and accountability and all of that. And I get it. It can be hard and awkward. And I have been really praying and thinking of who I could ask. Mm-hmm. And I feel that tension of like, okay, but like who and what? But with my previous mentor, before she moved, I had been praying and I had been asking God, like, God, I want an older woman who can pour into me, who can help me, who can answer my questions. And one day she just kind of popped into my mind and I was like, oh yes, of course her. She would be an amazing mentor. And then I saw her in person and I just got really bold and I walked up to her and I was like, you know, hello. So I've been really thinking about this and praying about this. And I asked her if she would consider mentoring me. So, like, just meeting with me once a week, once every 2 weeks to talk about life, to answer questions, to maybe walk through a book with me, like Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. And she was so honored. And she said she would go home and pray about it. And then I got the call back and she said she would love to mentor me. I know, I got the call back. I made the cut. And she said she would love to mentor me. And I was so excited and grateful. And it was such an amazing time. And I learned so much from her. And I know you were able to send a text, which is a little more casual. So that's a good approach too, right?
Just so if you go to girltofind.com, search in our search bar, how to find a mentor.
Yeah.
We have multiple posts written on how to find a mentor, how to get that accountability. I even in one of those shared the exact text message that I sent to my mentor.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Like and asking her, and it's scary.
Yeah.
But, oh, it is so worth it. I mean, it is amazing. And if the first lady says, oh, I wish I could, I can't, I'm too busy, pray again. Find somebody else. Even if she doesn't live in your city, you can do a Zoom call, you can FaceTime. It is just so important. Yeah. And I think all of the strategies that we've shared today will be, you will better put them into action by having that accountability. So just a quick review of some of the things we talked about to battle lust as a Christian girl. First and foremost, get in the Word. Pray for strength, be on your guard, confess when you sin, get rid of obvious temptations, fill your mind with truth, find a group of Christian girls, and then seek out accountability. Those were a lot of things. Go back and re-listen to any part of this that you found. You're like, yeah, I need to hear more about that truth. And then to take a deeper dive, check out our book, Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. Really, it is everything that we wish we could say that we can include in this episode. We are going to do future episodes specifically digging into some very specific topics about sexual sin and sexual struggles. So look forward to those. But in the meantime, we hope that our book will be such a blessing and a tool for you.
Yeah. And again, the mentorship course, like we've been mentioning, it opens December 1st. Registration closes January 10th. It starts on January 11th. So it's a very limited amount of time. Once it closes, it's not going to reopen. So we strongly encourage you to consider joining us. It's going to be an amazing time. If you like this, it's going to be like this times 100. Mm-hmm. So we would love to get to know you. We'd love to see you there. But until next time, we will see you in episode 5.